Announcements this morning as we get going, and I am very loud. You got me? Perfect. All right, a few announcements as we get started. What person we got? Hit me the slide. Just any slide. It's one of them mornings, y'all. My apologies. Jenkins Kids Child Care, we got all that worked out. We don't have any new folks this morning, so we're solid there. Thank you, Sarah and Polly, for doing Jenkins Kids. What else you got? Galentine's brunch, three Saturdays. What you got?
It's our second annual. Very excited. I will have an invitation this week. We'll need your RSVP by the Sunday before. We're going to have four prizes. We're going to have a fun craft that Nikki is coming up with. If y'all don't know, this is this girl's craftiest thing I've ever met in my entire life, besides you and other people, but she's just got tons of ideas. So just a good time, getting four prizes.
Did you just call her crafty? Is that what happened? I wasn't going to say it. I'm sorry. There you go. I like crafty. If you have not gotten your giving statements this year, your giving statements are now in your folder. So if you've given this year and you want your giving statement, it's in your folder. And also there are some Christmas cards left in there. So check your folder for those as well. Next Sunday, we'll have ordination and installation of our new elders. So thank you guys for participating this year, and we'll have that next Sunday. And what else we got? Ebenezer's United Methodist Sneaker Ball. Every year several years since we've been here, Ebenezer has put on a Valentine's thing in the gym. And they're doing one again this year. It'll be the Sneaker Ball on the 14th. They always have a fantastic time, and we're invited to be a part of that. So there's a QR code and all that, and get your tickets, and we'll all meet there at the Sneaker Ball. Are there any other announcements? Anything else going on in the life of the church? Do I have anything else?
Cover your knees.
What's that?
Cover your knees.
There. Yeah, there. I have a doctor's appointment this week. I felt like there was something I was supposed to mention. I haven't done it. But I cannot think of what it is, so let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Bible, there you are. I knew there was something very important. So we finally honed in on Bible study. Prepare to prepare us. We finally honed in on Bible study. We're going to have it on Tuesday nights rather than Wednesdays for a while. We'll do it Tuesdays, 6 o'clock, hour and 15 minutes. We're going to look at Romans again, and I do want to take a second. Bible study is, how do I say this? I love being in worship. This is my favorite thing of being a pastor. Bible study is a close second. I had a phenomenal experience in seminary with a couple of professors who really made Scripture incredibly real for me. You've met one of them, Reverend Dr. Mitzi Miner, just amazing. And I try to emulate her when I do Bible study. I like to put an effort into it because I love it. But I don't know much about it. I've taught it one time. And I'm going to say something a little bit brave, and I hope it maybe lift your feet up. If I only know a little bit about it, you probably don't know squat. You probably don't. You know about faith. You know about some things. You know who wrote it, Paul, right? You know some things. But if I were to say, what's Romans about? You'd probably go, and I would too. It'd take me some time to come up with it because it's a big book with a lot of stuff in it. Here's what I promise you. If you come to this study and you spend time in this study and you're there weekly, when you leave this study, you'll know more about Romans than anybody else you know. You'll have a better knowledge of what Romans is about than anybody else you'll know, and you'll detach it from what everybody else knows. Everybody else in this world looks at Romans because Martin Luther talked about it. That's how we look at Romans. We look at it through Martin Luther. But I got news for you. When Paul wrote it, Martin Luther wasn't alive. He still had about 1,500 years before he showed up, which means we have 1,500 years of history between Romans and when Martin Luther came up and started talking about it. So what can we bring out and find out about it? If you're there for the distance of the lesson, the class, when you walk out of it, you'll know. And my point in that is, if we are trying to lead a Christian life, if we're really trying to lead that life, don't we have to kind of know Romans? We kind of got to know the Gospels. We need to know them intimately. I promise you, when you're done, you'll be able to do that. So I hope, not this Tuesday, but next, I hope that you're here and commit to the long term of being here every week. We'll try to do it some online if we can to keep it going. But this is my promise to you. If you show up, we will grow in the faith together in Romans because we won't have any choice to. We'll be diving in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
I hope I get to see you then. Let's prepare our hearts and minds now. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. There you go.
Our call to worship is from Psalm chapter 40. I waited patiently for the Lord.
The Lord inclined to me and heard my cry.
The Lord drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure.
The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God.
Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Happy are those who made the Lord their trust.
Let's go to God in prayer. We could all tell a story of how you've pulled us out of something. We all have a story of somewhat of that. Lord, that's why the psalm hits so close to home. We all recognize there's something about that story that clicks with us. But we also know, Lord, it doesn't need to stop there. We know that in this world there are people that have stories that we need to listen to of difficult times when you've pulled them out of difficulties, or maybe they're in difficult times now and they're full of hope that you will pull them out of this. Or maybe they have no hope. And we need to be the hope for somebody as they're struggling. What we know, God, is there's a truth in this. If you pull us out of miry bogs and fires of desolation and of pits. And we thank you, God, for that. We have our stories. We have the stories we know of others. And we need to listen to those other stories to remind us time and again that it's not our pit that we're pulled out of. You just do that for all of us. So thank you, God, for doing that. Thank you being a God that we can turn to in those difficult times. Thank you for being the one that does pull us out of the pit. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to worship you and allowing us to be here today to tell you how thankful we are. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to live in your kingdom. We thank you, God, for this. And God's people said,
amen. You would remain standing. We're going to sing page 43, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great.
Jesus.
Our scripture of assurance comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sothenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Leave that last one up if you would, the scripture itself. If you leave that up for just 1 second.
This is the first three sentences of the book of Corinthians. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and you gotta say hello, right? Like, dear Corinth. That's how he started, and that's kind of what this is. Except Paul did something very interesting in his letters. He didn't write barely a word that didn't mean something. You realize this is the gospel? This is the gospel.
This is the gospel. Grace and peace to you from God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That is the entire purpose of the gospel. Grace and peace is brought to you, right? Isn't that the whole purpose? God brings grace and peace to the world. Jesus Christ is the grace and peace of the world. And in this, he writes, grace and peace to you from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a hello. This is the good news. This is the point of the entire gospel in itself. And here's the point of it that I want to make. It is always present for Paul. Everywhere you look, in all of his writings, everywhere you look, he starts it out with grace and peace to you. Because that's what he knows is the purpose of the faith. He recognizes that is the entire gospel right there. And it was always present for Paul. What kind of assurance did he walk around with? He walked around everywhere he went going, grace and peace from God and Jesus Christ. Grace and peace from God and Jesus Christ. Grace and peace from God and Jesus Christ. To everywhere he went, he said that to people. What a blessing to the world. What if we lived in just that manner, where we walk around the world offering grace and peace wherever we went, that if it was always present in us, we talk about assurance for us. What kind of assurance would it be for the world if Christians walked around everywhere they went just offering grace and peace? Let's think about that, God.
You'll join with us when I survey the wondrous cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross.
I had a moment. Thank you. I had a moment. Okay, thank you. Very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Pull open your bulletins, if you would, and flip to the back of it. Would you do that for me real quick? On the back of it, there's a little section that I promised you last week that's there. This is not anything that I'm begging you to do or think you ought to do. It's just an opportunity that's out there. I began work with Global, or GCAC, Global Citizens Adventure Corps. Can't get the words out of my mouth. I started working with them about 6 months ago. A fantastic organization in McKenzie, Tennessee, that partners with our school, Bethel University, and it offers high school students and college students the opportunity to have overseas learning, a week or 2 week, usually a week and a half, 2 week intensives, and they do so a lot of times for students who have who don't have the opportunity to travel. And so there's some great stories if you go on their website of people who have traveled, who have done some wonderful things. I'm taking a tour, by the way, of class, and adults can go. You're welcome to go too. You won't get college credit, but you're welcome to go. I'm actually taking a class to Morocco in spring. We're going spring of 27, and we'll be doing a lot of identity work in Morocco as a college course, and you're invited to go on that. But what I had hoped that we might be able to do, we're a traveling bunch, aren't we? Like, we always going somewhere, this group. When you go on a big vacation or something, throw a little dollar or two in and support GCAC. And they give scholarships to these kids that get to go, and it really changes their lives. So we know travel changes ours, and it's just a small opportunity that if you choose to, they could use the funding to scholarship students that are going. So that's just on the back, and I wanted to present that to you. Also, make sure you're aware that your giving statements are in your folders, and just thank you for your giving throughout the year, your tithes and offerings. We're trying to do something special here at Jenkins, and you allow that through your gifts. So thank you for that as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you for the chance to give, Lord. Giving is, it's amazing. And so we ask that you just show us this week opportunities that we can give our time, just give a kind word, a little small gesture, or do something big and amazing, doesn't matter. We just ask you, Lord, that you put giving opportunities in front of us. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts that have come to this church. We thank you that we're able to give our tithes and our offerings here. But we thank you, Lord, that the entire world is a place that we can offer to you. We thank you, God, and in your name we say, amen. All right, James again. We only have two chapters left of James. But this is James 4, 1 through 7. Oh, this is so ironic. I forgot about this first sentence. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you don't have. So you kill. You covet. But you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the Scripture said without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace? This is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is the word of God. For the people of God, praise be to God. James is getting excited again. We had a week off, Marie, and James is getting all fired up again doing his thing. Fire and brimstone. He's not fire and brimstone necessarily. He's like a preacher who I know has about five kids that are always putting their hands on the stove. He's always screaming, don't do that, don't do that. But never, you know, hey, the grass is serene. You should go play on it. That's not James. James is the kind of guy that screams, stop, don't do that. It seems like James was that kind of preacher. And I guess that's because maybe he had a lot of reason to be upset. Maybe a lot was going on, and so he had a reason to be fired up all the time. That seems to be the reason for his screaming, yet I digress. He says some things that... It's not about how love conquers all. We had 1 week off, and James is getting heavy again. It's James going James, you know? I just thought about, I know Jesus got foul sometimes too, but don't you know Jesus was Mary's favorite son? James was just ugly. You know, Jesus, like, at least Jesus says love sometimes, you know? James never. It's like he's always going in on it. James is always ugly. And so, church, about Wednesday, I decided I wouldn't want to talk about James. I don't want to. I have no desire to talk about James. In fact, I had a whole other sermon written because I didn't want to talk about James. I planned to talk about Kentucky basketball. But then I didn't know that Kentucky and Tennessee were going to play yesterday. And so I wrote an entire sermon on Kentucky basketball to only find out that Kentucky and Tennessee are going to start playing. And then in the first half, at least Kentucky was losing, so it wasn't going to ruin my sermon. And then they come back and they win by two in this last moment thing. I realize half of my church are Tennessee fans, and I've already lost them before I started. You know what this means, right? Do you understand? You're going to take a picture and send it to John. You're about to say that you see what's happening, right? Hold on. In the church house even. Here, fine. This is what I do for you people. Do you understand? Anything for my church and for the sermon. I'm going to talk about Kentucky basketball. I'm going to do it anyway. Look, here's what happened. I can't. This is going to drive me crazy. I've got to take that off. The rest of it, I'll keep on though. I couldn't see right. Here's what happened. I'm watching the game on Wednesday. And as we played LSU, we all hate it. Can we just all hate LSU? Can we just agree on that and just go on? There we go. We all hate LSU. We're good. So anyway, I'm watching the game Wednesday night, and I didn't know it was even on until I Googled the score, and it was 19-5 LSU. And I was like, well, I'm not going to watch. I ain't that kind of fan that I'm going to turn a game on where I'm losing. And so I turned the game on. I didn't even watch it. I wasn't going to watch this game, and I just didn't look. And so it goes on at 5 points, y'all, in the first 10 minutes of the game. That's how bad we're playing. And so I didn't watch it. And then a little while, I looked at it at half, and we were still down 18 or whatever. And then I get a text from my friend David Scales. I don't know if he's watching today or not. David Scales. And all it says is, wow, well, that counts. And I knew immediately what he meant. It meant Kentucky won. And so I was like, well, now I got to go watch and see what happens. And so I don't want to belabor the point because I know there's some PTSD with comeback victories right now. But suffice it to say that Kentucky did come back from 18 down. And here's what happened. 1.6 seconds left, and we got the ball on one end of the court, and we got a score on the other end of the court in 1.6 seconds. And so one of the players takes the ball and he heaves it to the other end. It doesn't go 94 feet. It goes about 75 of that 94. And there's an LSU player there that is pretty positive he's going to catch the ball. And so he leaps up, but it just grazes past the fingers of him. And he can't get quite there. And on the backside is a guy named Moreno, Malachi Moreno. And he caught it. 1.6 seconds. He came down. In midair, he twisted his body 180 degrees. And he took a little step. And here's my point. He did something that amazed me. He took this shot. I watched it 10 times. Not because I was thrilled about the victory. I already knew we won. I was amazed and I watched it 10 times because this guy shot this shot and it was perfect form. I've never seen such a perfect jump shot. I'm going to get to the reason why in a minute. But he had his shoulders squared. He had his elbow tucked. Wrist wasn't cocked. It was just steady like it's supposed to be. He followed through with the shot. You got to look the shot through the net. And he looked the shot. He owned his shot. It was absolutely perfect. I watched it time and time and time again because I couldn't believe how perfect this jump shot was. It was a clutch moment, man. There's people screaming everywhere. There's so much distraction going on in the gym. There's the pressure of the moment itself. And this kid had the, 18 years old, had the forethought for perfect form and to look it through the net like there wasn't another person in the gym. I was amazed by the perfection of the moment. Here, you want to push? Just kidding. That's exactly what happened. He hit this shot. It was perfect. People screaming, people yelling, yelling for you, yelling against you, whatever. It was perfect form. We win. Kentucky wins. It wasn't me. Kentucky wins. They all run off and get a post-game press conference. And the most amazing thing happens. At the end of it, they're talking to Moreno. And he said, I've done that over and over and over in my life. I stay in the backyard. We both done it. 3, 2, 1. Hit the shot normally, right? But we take the shot and we're going to win the game in the backyard. We go to the gym. 3, 2, 1. And we take the shot. We try to win the game. And Moreno said he had done this time and time again. He'd shot a million game winners, he said. When the kids and I play a game sometimes, we play World Championship of the World. Whatever we're playing, that's the World Championship of the World. It's the same thing, you know? And that's what he was doing. And so he had shot this shot time and time and time again. And now, when it's time to do it for real, when the pressure's on, when the moment is there to take the shot, he drilled it.
Perfect
form. Like, I belabored the point long enough. I know there's some PTSD going on here. Y'all hated Kentucky before. You're going to hate them afterwards. Don't worry about it. James is on a point here in this section that says that there is a world's way and there is a God way. And he doesn't call it the way. Jesus called it the way. Others call it the way. But the result is the same. There is a life for us that we are to live that is within God's will, period. But then he says there's another way too. There's a stove hot way. And don't you dare live like that way. And James tells us all about it. And he says you can be real all you want. But what it says is if you aren't reading it, by the way, if you're just reading this when I talk about it, you may not get this. And you read it every week and keep reading it and keep reading it. And you realize that James won't shut up about this particular point. And he hits it time and he hits it time again. And he says, don't live like this. And I started asking myself this week, why won't he shut up? Why will he not quit with this same statement over and over and over? What is it about don't live like this that's got him just going? Why is he pounding on the same thing, on greed, on richness, on status, on motives, on killing and demanding and all that nasty stuff that we don't realize is nasty? And why does he keep harping on this? And I think I've come to an understanding of why. When I played that game as a kid, 3, 2, 1, and we shoot it, when I did that, I didn't so often hit the shot. I missed more than I hit. I'd throw it up from half court, just, I'd take a long three-pointer off the rim if it even got there. I'd shoot it over my shoulder. I'd heave it from here and there. I didn't have a bit of form to speak of. My elbow was all out of whack. I was shooting it from over here. My leg probably kicking out somewhere. My shoulders probably weren't square. I was probably shooting it like this. You know what I'm like? It probably wasn't anything that had a chance of going in. So there wasn't a lot of hope that the ball was going to go through the bucket. I didn't practice. I didn't have good form. I didn't have a repeatable effort that I could put into it and trust that when the time was right, when the moment was there, that I could do something good with it. And so in eighth grade, I had a chance to score my only 2 points of the year. I was at the free throw line at the end of the game. I missed them both. I wasn't but 5 years younger than Moreno. You know, and I missed them both. I hadn't put the time in to perfect my form. Church, somebody needs to hear me. I'm wearing orange for God's sake. Somebody needs to hear me. The world suggests that we practice other shots than what God calls us to practice. It entices us to do anything but practice God's ways of thinking, God's plans, God's plays, God's shot. The world wants us to run its plays, to live its way, and that's all we ever hear from the world. So no wonder James wouldn't shut up. It wants us to take its shots, and it wants us to do it so often that it becomes natural for us. It becomes perfect form for us. And so it rolls out balls of envy and suggests we start chucking those things up over and over. It suggests us to shoot anger and blame and slander. And if we're convinced all the time to do that, if we're told all the time to do that, that those things aren't actually bad, that they're actually good after all, we humans end up developing fantastic form shooting those shots. We get good with it. And we end up tending not to miss those. And church, if we're shooting those shots over and over in this world, shooting half court over the shoulder at all the unwise shots that the world wants us to shoot, maybe James realizes that when it's time for the big shots in life's game, when it's in a crucial moment, you know, when it's a right now kind of a Kairos moment. Have you heard this term? A Kairos moment is a moment that just is so important that the moment can't be redone. This moment matters. This moment counts. This moment brings life and death, and the moment is calling upon you in 1.6 seconds to make that shot, because that shot must be made in this world, man. And so I just got to ask, do you trust your form? Do you trust your form to shoot some love into the world and not hate? Do you trust your shot to bring peace into the world and to not take shots at conflict? Do you trust that your will align with the will of God and you won't even have to think about it because it comes so naturally, you've done it so much? Can we live in grace when it matters if we've not been shooting grace all along? Do we know how to love if we don't spend every moment loving exactly those people that James said go love? Why does James talk about this stuff over and over and over? Maybe because what you practice is what you reach for. Maybe he's worried that a world sure does practice some foolishness a lot, you know, man. The world drills us on desire, on status, on winning, on getting even. And James is saying, if you keep practicing that, if you keep taking that shot, you will take that shot when the stakes are real as well. And so the way, if you're going to live it, has to be practiced as well. And we can't do that if we're playing for the world's teams. So he says it plain. Stop trying to be friends with the world. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Draw near. Humble yourself. Living the way of Christ in the small moments is the practice. Or maybe it's the game itself. But every choice becomes a rep of mercy or a rep of content, a rep of peace or a rep of conflict, a rep of generosity or a rep of greed. And as we practice, we do these little things and we do them over and over, and two things will happen if we do them. The first one is this. The first one, if we're doing these small acts, we're perfecting our form over time. The first one is this. That one small gesture, that one tiny grace that we give, that we're just practicing with, just that little ounce of mercy that we give somebody, that one smidgen of care, that one kind word to someone who thinks they're unworthy, that little teaspoon of joy that we give out as practice, one small moment, if done with the right form, can touch people's souls so deep we don't even realize we've done it. They will feel known for a moment. And in doing so, we're changed. Our form is made right. And so, church, when the world demands that we perform its trick shots on vital days, we need to be ready. Because here's the second thing that happens. When there's a ton on the line, when winning and losing becomes very, very real for people, when winning and losing means truly life and death to either body or soul or whatever. If we've been practicing our form, if we've been getting love right as often as we can, if we've been getting joy right as often as we can, if we've been getting peace right as often as we can, and mercy and grace and all that too, if we've been doing this work and we've been getting our shot down, if we know that we can trust our shot and we can step into it and we can look this ball through the basket, then when it's time to rise up and take our shot in crucial moments of history, then it won't be muscle memory that saves us. It'll be our God memory that saves us. It'll be our God memory that allows us to speak into a moment and know that this is the right form in which we live. So how will you practice this week, church? How will you practice your wisdom? Name the shot that you've been practicing that's not of God. If there's a quick jab of sarcasm or a quiet grudge or a need to be seen or a need to get even, then do a rep the other way. Submit your will to God before you speak. Resist the pull to score by tearing somebody else down. Draw near with one concrete act of mercy, because the moment's coming, church. And will you rise to the occasion? And I believe you will, because you practiced time and time and time and time and time again, and your heavenly form will not fail this world. Live that, church, in times that are not easy and in times when it's not safe. Live it now. And God's people said, David Birdsong, your chant for Let Me Wear This. Thank you, sir. Whose hat is it? Whose hat did I wear? Yours? All right. I'll defumigate it. I just got Kentucky germs on it. Let's stay in this sweet church. Sweet, sweet fear in this church. Let's sing about it. Appointment on the 21st, and I definitely tore it, so we get to figure out when surgery is, but it'll be a nothing. So, but thanks for asking, I appreciate it. But please do keep me in your prayers. I am a wonderful patient, I promise you. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Others this morning, we do need to be in prayer for you. Yeah, please be in prayer for our friend Roman on the streets. He's dealing with some cancer, and we really like our prayers, so please, yeah, Roman. Yes, ma'am? Wonderful. Prayers for Noah and the family. Yep. Our others this morning we need to be in prayer for. Yeah. Our General Assembly meets on the 23rd. Liz and I will be there as delegates. This is the decision may be made on what we're doing with the seminary as far as closing it or whatever we're doing. Mute me.
Thank you. This is not widespread, but I want your prayers. On the 20th, Tuesday? There's a meeting of some people in Memphis who are really wanting to figure out how we can continue.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to pray that we have the strength to do, as you had said at the beginning of service, Paul's actions. There is so much going on in this world right now that is so bad that we can, even if it's just for one day, go to the world and wish somebody.
That may be my line this week. Grace and peace. Whenever I meet somebody, let's just take that, man. Thank you for, yeah, absolutely. Are there others? Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Just continue prayers for the family and friends of Madison.
Family and friends of Madison, please keep them in your prayers. Are there others? Yes, ma'am. Please keep Hannah in your prayers. Yes. Hip surgery. Yes, ma'am.
Our buddy Ty was not here this morning because she had a really rough day yesterday with her AFib.
Oh, no.
And the doctor wanted her to stay home so that they could monitor her closely. So just keep her in your prayers because hopefully they'll get that straightened out.
Our sister Ty is not here. I didn't know why she wasn't here, but she's got AFib. It had a rough day yesterday, and doctors are keeping her close to home so they can keep tabs on her. So please be in prayer for Ty. Yeah. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am. Prayers for Alex and you all as well. Are there others? Anybody else? Pray for if I don't catch any kind of disease or anything from the... Y'all don't even understand how at about 5 o'clock yesterday, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do. But thank you all for being grace-filled. Anything else? Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for a family church. We thank you for closeness and We just thank you for a family church. We thank you that you've ordained a place in this community that we exist because we want to know each other and love one another, and we want to have a prayer list between us. Lord, we don't know the names on this, but because a friend of ours does, it becomes important to us. And so thank you, God, for those people that pray over this list all week long. Thank you, God, for that. So we ask for prayers, Lord, for me and Suzanne as we go through this knee thing, and we just ask for that you give her strength and patience and me healing. We pray for Roman, Lord, such a good man, and the challenges for Noah, for the General Assembly and for the seminary, for the strength, Lord, to live as we talk about living in here. Lord, we pray for ourselves in that. For Madison's friends and family, for Hannah, for our sister Ty, and for Alex. And Lord, we ask, lift these things up all week long because we're a family. And we pray for one another because we're all family. So thank you, God, that this exists. We ask you, Lord, to give us blessings throughout the week, not so that we may spend them or accumulate them, but that we just may give them away. And so if any of those blessings come as something that we can do in these, we just say thank you that we get to offer ourselves to others in whatever way you call us to. And we pray all this through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Stand, please, for the benediction. Go in love. Oh, go in joy. Go in peace. Go in grace. And go in mercy. And go that way because it's the only shot to take. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you and never from one another. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you.